cliffcentral.com.
Did anyone have any Halloween activity this weekend? Any any dressings up? Any of that stuff? No,
not yet.
I thought yesterday was it. Like yesterday for the kids and Saturday night for the adults.
No, it's the 31st.
Oh, but Halloween. That's in the week.
Well,
I heard it. Kids did it yesterday.
Oh, maybe they did. Not in my neighborhood.
Right. When is the Halloween?
31st.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which is Wednesday.
Don't they sometimes just move it to the weekend, or am I being dumb because I don't have kids?
Gosh, let's just all do what you want to do.
I have no idea.
Or we stick to a date.
I just remember kids ringing the bell at my grumpy aunt's house.
Oh, yeah.
Are we going to dress up on Wednesday?
Trick or treat. And she said, no thanks, and put the phone down.
Smart.
Well, it's interesting. Like in America, there's certain places in New York where they have, at the entrance to a building, for example, they'll say, these apartments are taking part in Halloween, the others are not. So the kids go to the apartments where they are trick-or-treating, okay. And they don't bother the people who are not.
Yeah, because you either really are full-on into it, or you just do not want it at all.
Yeah.
There's no sort of middle line.
But it's interesting, last week we were talking about this Megyn Kelly situation where she said she thought it was perfectly okay for kids to like put on dark makeup and a Diana Ross wig and bring tribute to Diana Ross by dressing up as her for Halloween, when she was called a racist and all kinds of things, you know, and like she's in favor of blackface and all that kind of thing. Very, very controversial stuff.
Mm.
And it's interesting, we were talking about this and we had quite a lot to say about it last week. I don't think, you know, if you missed it, you can go and listen to the podcast. But it wasn't just us by the looks of things, because I heard Bill Maher over the weekend talking about it on his show Real Time. Listen to this quickly, you'll get an idea.
Think about the things that angry up the Fox News base. What's the single overarching message of that network? Weirdos are coming for your shit. Well, that's what happens on October 31st. People dressed as pimps and hookers walking up your driveway. People in chains who aren't Hillary. Which cackle doorbells that sound like Hillary? Men dressed as women dressed as men, adults dressed as Harry Potter, and everything is slutty. Slutty nurse, slutty pirate, slutty pizza rat, slutty Bishop Desmond Tutu, slutty Saudi assassin. It never ends. The only thing conservatives like about Halloween is the appearance of Nosferatu. But I'm telling you, Halloween, they hate the socialism, they hate the paganism. The Bible specifically condemns witches, vampires, wizards, ghosts. You know, all the fun people at the party. And then it also became gay Christmas. How gay is Halloween? It makes West Hollywood gayer. That's like making Utah whiter. And then there's the trap we walk into every year.
Listen
now,
to
I
this.
Personally don't care if you go trick-or-treating dressed as 0.01% of Elizabeth Warren. But the Office of Scolding Justice Warriors has decreed no hula girls, no Indian chiefs, no Southern Belles, no Daniel Boone, no geishas, ninjas, gypsies, mobsters, terrorists, no Cleopatra. Pirates offend one-eyed people. And you can't dress as a hobo because it makes light of the homeless. You can't dress as Quasimodo because it offends hunchbacks. You can't dress as an escaped mental patient. It offends Kanye.
Oh, beautiful.
The sexy Handmaid's Tale costume. The Handmaid's Tale costume has already been pulled from the shelves and an apology issued, lest someone be offended by the ironic take on a character that doesn't exist from a fictional world that never happened.
But it's offensive.
You know, not everything that merely alludes to another culture is racist or cultural appropriation. Really. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Halloween was always fun because it wasn't PC. Not being PC is almost the whole point of the holiday. But now everything has to turn into a federal case of snowflakes versus humor. And then some cultural studies professor will go on TV to try to explain his outrage, and Tucker Carlson will look at him like this. The majority of America is with the Democrats on the issues.
Now listen to this. This is quite interesting. I don't know where these statistics come from, but this should give you an idea. When you're on social media and you get called out for saying something that is cultural appropriation or any other such thing, just remember these statistics. These obviously count for America, but I have a feeling that they're probably even more in one direction in South Africa.
I just find the woke people irritating as hell. In a new poll, 80% of Americans find political correctness to be a problem, including 75% of African Americans, 74% of Americans under 30, 82% of Asians, 87% of Hispanics, 88% of Native Americans. If you're not a statistician, let me break those numbers down for you. Nobody likes you.
There it
is. Including the so-called marginalized groups whose feelings you've decided need protecting. Because trust me, somewhere right now, there are three clueless white girls in Texas who are planning to go as a mariachi band. And when they do, liberal Twitter will lose their shit. And the rest of America will go, oh, for fuck's sake, when did liberals become the fun police? Does anybody remember when conservatives were the ones with the sticks up their asses? We went from yes, we can to oh, no, you didn't.
Thank you. All right, so there's the basic idea. I just thought it was interesting because we were talking about it the other day, and there it is. Nobody likes you, social justice warriors. Nobody.
Well, that's because they don't like themselves. How do they get into that boat?
Right. But they also appointed themselves in charge of making sure no one else's feelings got hurt, and in the process ended up spoiling humor for everybody. Anyway, don't listen to it. Just laugh at everything. That's the way I feel. Everything. All the jokes are funny jokes. And if you're in doubt, just rather keep it to yourself. Pretend that everyone else is laughing and that you're not, and that you know something they don't, but don't say anything about it.
And won't kill you
to
do that.
That's a complicated instruction, but I'll try.
Try.
But
try
won't it. Kill you to. So today's the first day we'll actually see NBC's decision come into play.
Oh, yes, because they're going to decide whether they'll fire Megyn Kelly.
Well, she's already been fired.
Oh, she's been fired?
Yeah.
Done, that's it. Because the Today Show is, I think, 4 hours long, and she had the 9 to 10 hour all on her own for her show. She's officially been fired. According to NBC, they'll have other Today Show hosts take over the 9 o'clock slot right now. And then because NBC, like any other organization, doesn't want to lose money, Megyn Kelly was on a $23 million per annum contract, and she signed on for 3 years. And I think this was only her second year. Yeah. So they aren't going to show her the door. They'll just probably have her as a special correspondent, late night contributor.
In other words, they'll pay her an inordinate amount of money for much less work.
Well, apparently the rates were decreasing. They were declining.
You mean the ratings?
Sorry, the ratings.
The rates.
The ratings were declining anyway, so a lot of people are saying perhaps she wouldn't have been fired over just this if the ratings hadn't been declining.
Oh, like this
before.
Was the straw
was
that
the
broke
excuse
the camel's back.
Needed.
Yeah, the last straw.
Because I don't know. I think their decision was not really the most sensible in the first place, because Megyn is known to be, you know, outspoken. She'll say what she has to say, and to put her on at 9 o'clock with housewives, and she had to interview people on, you know, oh, and you survived chemo, and how was that for you? I don't think that was a fit for her. But in any case, what one of the interesting things over the past couple of days is that they called in the face now and the great mind of, you know, women and harassment in the workplace, they called in Ronan Farrow, of all places, to sit in one of the meetings with Megyn Kelly in NBC to come into the results that they have now. I thought that was weird.
Yeah, and I think NBC are just a little confused. I think all the media organizations are confused. They can't do anything right at the moment, and their ratings are all going down. All right, a few things to talk about today, and you can contribute. Obviously, you're welcome to take us in any direction you want to. 0861-555-189 if you want to get on the air. If you want to message us, 0797482090. A couple of news stories on the agenda. Malusi Gigaba and his enormous penis is definitely taking
enormous.
I mean, people are sending around. There are memes already. There are pictures. There are GIFs. There are jokes. There are comments. You got to admit, we still have a great sense of humor when it comes to certain things. We haven't lost our ability to make fun of anybody who thinks that this is going to affect Malusi Gigaba's career long term in a negative way is probably missing the point.
We'll probably just never forget this incident.
Well, every time you see him now, you're just going to see that huge penis. That's all you're going to see.
Mm-hmm. Although, that said, remember, there was the painting with Zuma depicted with his ding-a-ling hanging out.
Mm-hmm. People didn't like that.
They didn't like that, but we've kind of forgotten about it already.
The spear.
You know, it depends in what case. Because I don't know about you, when you think Jos van der Westhuizen, what do you think?
Underpants with holes in them.
See?
Shame.
From that sex tape.
And he did have more to... I mean, he made a contribution.
It's not great sportsman. Oh, no. What you did for this box and...
Underpants with holes.
Family man. No, but I think that. So Malusi, actually, I never had the connotation of great political leader.
He never was.
Yeah, the guy who was all around the world Instagramming with his wife.
Well, clearly he did that in his spare time as well. Yeah. I mean, look, it could happen to anyone, right? It really could. I mean, people, and this is what's so interesting, is like when a relationship's fine and you're sending each other sexy little pictures or cute little messages, then it's all good. As soon as the relationship goes sour, what happens? Oh, look what I've got on my phone. Let me see what I can do.
Well, Google has admitted that it had a sexual harassment problem. And has fired 48 employees for sexual misconduct.
At Google.
At Google.
At their offices.
So sure. The CEO, Sundar Pichai, has spoken on stage. He's announced it to everyone during the annual Google I.O. Developers Conference in California. He sent an email to all Google employees this week, this past week, saying that the company had fired 48 people over the last 2 years for sexual harassment, including 13 senior managers and above, and that none received an exit package.
Huh. That's at Google.
Yeah.
Google are like they're like the social justice warriors of San Francisco. That's impressive.
He's also said that there are newer tools at Google that employees can use to report sexual harassment or misconduct. Hmm. Google employees can also report sexual misconduct anonymously. So it's all out in the open now.
Okay. Well, there we go. At least they're taking action. Suppose it's going to happen everywhere. And if you've got it in your company, you've got to find a way of dealing with it. Otherwise, it'll find you.
Yeah, people aren't standing for it anymore.
No.
But Gareth, you and I were having this conversation last week. It was not on the show. And we were saying how this trend or certain behaviors are so old now. This behavior, for example, of hooking up at the workplace is old. And people actually look down on that.
People
now.
Don't want
it's
to
not
do that.
Cute or hot or sexy.
No.
So I think this is not me being naive or ridiculously optimistic, but I also think the wave now of people in charge at the workplace taking advantage of young people, it's slowly phasing out. And when you hear of a whole wipeout of 48 people all at once, I think that speaks to the times we're in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain behavior also that you just can't imagine will be acceptable anymore. You hear stories about the boss and his secretary, but less and less, right? Because now you see that in the frame of like a Harvey Weinstein. You don't see it as cute or, you know, in the 80s.
Or like shame, they got caught.
Yeah, they got caught. Shame, in the 80s it was like a power game, you know?
Definitely.
That was what happened. If you were a successful businessman.
Women set their way to the top.
Sure. And men took advantage of that. by letting them sleep their way to the top and help them get to the top if they slept their way there. Mm. And it was a big thing. It was part of the way people behaved. And
bosses and secretaries.
Yeah. You would hire a hot secretary if you were a powerful man. That was what you did.
And that was the norm.
Mm. These days, most men, I suppose, are hiring on purpose old
trolls.
Unattractive women, because they don't want to be accused of sexual harassment.
Exactly. Smart.
So now if you're an old
take
troll...
Take the temptation of the workplace.
Now if you're an old woman who has great administrative skills, you're not looking at retirement at all.
Be a great sort of recruitment agency.
Yeah.
You're only going to supply women
old,
of a certain...
unattractive women.
I swear there's a need for that.
Who are not a threat to your wife.
It seems quite
but
basic.
Or real operators in the workplace.
Yeah.
My sister's looking at childminder options because she's about to go back to work after the baby. And she said, very frankly, she wants an old lady.
Yeah.
No young little thing, no au pair who's still studying and, you know, can look after the baby in the few hours of the day. She's like,
I'm pretty sure that's an actual genre on Pornhub is the au pair slash babysitter.
She wants it someone is. Frumpy.
It definitely is. You know, there was such an interesting statistic that was revealed to me by Jonathan Haidt, who's a professor. I think he's at Columbia. I can't be entirely sure. But he recently released a report on how Generation Z behave as opposed to the millennials, because the millennials stop in 1995, right?
Mm-hmm.
And since then, Generation Z, anyone who's younger than that, who was born post-1995, these people have a very different outlook on the world to the rest of us. They do not drink, they do not party, they do not have sex, they do not take drugs.
Well, are they legal to drink? If you're born in 96, you're
20? It's not on their agenda.
Two.
But the point is, they sit on their phones all the time. Their primary means of communicating with any other human being is through a phone.
Mm. Well, they were born right in the thick of it, where moms had phones and that's how it all happened.
They don't.
That's when it all happened, rather.
They don't have sex. They don't have relationships. They text other people that they're interested in and they have conversations. And here's the scary part of that. They've been measuring depression, which we spoke about last week in the wake of WHP's death.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that depression is up 70% in girls in that generation. And 40% in boys in that generation.
That's a huge leap, 70%.
Massive. Mm. And the reason that there's this disparity between the girls and the boys is because girls look to social media. They put something on social media and they wait for a reaction, right?
They do. And often there's also a trend with kids of this age who post things like, I'm really ugly. I don't know how anyone could love me. Looking for affirmation.
Right.
They're looking for someone to say, no, I think you're stunning.
And the other thing that they've realized, and that's true, that's a very good point, but the other thing they've realized is that girls and boys bully each other differently. With girls, they bully each other in terms of their relationship with each other. And it never stops with girls because of social media. It carries on. With boys, bullying is much more a physical thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So you can't do that on social media. Girls are much nastier to each other in words.
Mm.
Boys are much nastier to each other physically.
But that's how it's always been, even before social media. Girls will carry grudges for decades.
Oh, yeah.
Guys and will sort it out in the, on
girls
the playground.
Girls would whisper to you. I mean, listen, this before social media, this existed, and you're quite right. I mean, I remember girls at my school. There was this vendetta between one girl and another, and they hated each other. They had their own little clique of girls around them, and they would all be bitchy about those girls. And, so
and those girls can't date certain guys.
Yeah, right.
We've all seen mean girls.
No. That's a real thing.
I think that's actually worse. Punch me once, get it over and done with. I'll bruise and heal and I'll be better. When a girl screws you up mentally.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go to my grave hating certain girls.
Will you?
That I've hated all my
life.
You
still hate them.
Yeah. It doesn't go away.
Nolo, are there people that you hate? Are there girls that you hate? I mean, is this your modus operandi or is it just Leanne?
It's kind of strange. I cannot relate to this in a sense that I grew up as a boy, you know. I was friends with boys. I never had any girlfriends because I thought they had a lot of drama and they were just so annoying. And To this day, I struggle making friends with girls. The only 2-3 girls that I'm friends with are tomboys, just like me.
Okay.
So we get each other in that sense.
I don't think that's overly rare, though, Nola. Mm. I think a lot of girls generally find guys easy to be friends with. Look, as long as you're not banging each other or trying to. If you take that off the table.
If you take that off the
table. Because that can be very complicated.
But the girl needs to tell the guy, this is off the table.
But that's why a lot of really attractive girls battle to have these normal friendships, because the guys are just trying to bang them.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true.
But yeah, man, I don't have such relationships, and I was never bullied, and I was never a bully, so...
Okay, well, lucky you.
That's such a boring life.
See, you were bullied.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hello.
Really?
What would give it away? The loud black gay guy who loved Oprah and Beyonce from... You see,
but I thought,
prance around,
I mean,
singing in school. Oh, yeah.
Are you not of a generation that was more accepting towards that?
I think so.
I would have thought.
Not to sound very la-di-da, but I grew up in a home that was always accommodating of who you are. My parents really had an environment of, this is who you are, go ahead, you're fine, live your life.
Beautiful.
So then going into school, where everything is clicky and everyone wants to box you, now I felt like suppressed. I was like, well, what? Now I have to go and play sport, or now I have to go and, you know, be into Lego because that's the thing. And that was the cause and source of all of my bullying. Yeah. Mm. Bullied in PE.
You didn't fit in. And you didn't want to conform.
Yeah. And, you know, I was used to spending time with my older siblings and my parents, and I would befriend teachers at school.
Yeah,
then kids would think I'm sucking up. It was a whole mess, an absolute mess.
Can imagine, yeah.
Well, Ben got his brothers were his bullies, chiefly.
Yeah, they're bullies. So basically, I got bullied at home.
Oof.
That's why I couldn't ever get homeschooled. But yeah, it was they were the bullies, really.
My brother insists I bullied him.
You did, Leanne.
You see, it's your perspective. What does your brother say?
He went to a psychologist when he was very young, and
it drove him to shrink.
He drew a photograph. I mean, he drew a picture of everyone in the kitchen. My dad wasn't there because he was always at work. He wasn't in the picture, which is bizarre because he was very much in the picture. Then he drew my mum cooking. Our domestic worker was there, and I was hidden behind the door.
With a knife in your hand.
And then the psychologist came out with this whole thing that he was hiding me away because I bully him. And
jeez. Look at you.
And how did that make you feel, Leah?
Evil, evil woman.
Responsible.
I feel terrible. He's still to this day, he thinks.
Well, so I've got 3 older siblings, 2 brothers and 1 sister. My sister stabbed my oldest brother in the eye with a fork as a child.
Intentionally.
Can he still see?
Yeah, he's got like a slight eye twitch. It's very slight. You don't pick it up unless someone mentions it. But that's what happens with you older girls. You bully the crap out of
them. The thing is, we're 8 years apart. So he was going through childhood and I was hormonal. And that was just, I mean, I would... he came home from school once and he was angry at something and he threw his suitcase into his bedroom. And in those days, there were these massive, heavy suitcases.
Clunky things, yeah.
Yeah. And
everything
went right through this enormous window. The curtains were closed over it. And he didn't realize. And I ran straight down the passage. Mom, come and look what Mark did. So I was this bitchy tattletaler. But I don't think I bullied him.
Oh, Siri's busy talking about
Siri's asking.
Siri
saying,
he did.
Leanne, you're a liar.
Were you bullied, though? Like at school or anything?
No, I was a bullier. I used to bully nerds, people who were into science. I used to call them Miss Microscope. I was dating the cool guy from the age of 13 to 21, so I was always with the cool kids.
Yeah, and you were a bully.
No,
you
surprise
were mean
to us, Leanne.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you feel bad about it? I mean,
I do. I do feel bad.
I often wonder if my bullies today would feel bad about it.
Well, I always like to look at where those bullies have ended up. And in your case, I bet you that none of them have done as well as you have. So it must feel good to go and rub their noses in it afterwards.
I met one a few weeks ago in Monte Cassino.
Yeah.
And he's only 23 and has already started graying. Ooh, did karma not taste sweet that day? It was already grey, wearing these ripped up rugby shorts, so he's still into the rugby phase.
Ripped up rugby shorts.
Oh, just a mess. 1+1=catastrophe there.
How many kids?
And I was going to MC something, so I just like sauntered past.
You sashayed past him.
Oh, it's a time not
time. But generally, bullies end up with like 4 kids.
Yeah, and the kids end up bullying the hell out of them.
Because I always say so many kids do bullies.
Yeah. All right, well, there we go. There's the the basic, the latest info on Generation Z, in case you're interested in it. We're going to get Claire Petra in here. You remember we spoke about Claire Petra Mathis? She's the gadget girl, and we were going to talk to her the other day about what's going on in the news lately. It's all about Instagram using AI to detect bullying and implementing kindness. How do you like the sound of that?
I like that.
That's not me this time. It's not my Siri.
That wasn't. No, that's very loud though.
It's Nola. When Nola talks to Gareth, everyone hears.
Oh, I see.
So we'll speak to her in the next couple of minutes. That was Nola on the mic. Nola, yo, drop mic, Siri. Nola.
Oh shit!
Have you guys seen this thing? Just before we carry on with the bullying thing, have you seen this thing about Sinead O'Connor?
She's
converted.
No, she keeps converting. This is what's. It's like a big internet joke, and I think people are falling for it. Like, she converted first to Islam, and then she converted to Hinduism, then she converted to Judaism, and someone is creating this thing about Sinead O'Connor, and I don't know if she's playing along, if she's part of it, but the latest one is she's converted to Hinduism after realizing that Muslims don't drink.
Oh, but I saw a recent video of her singing part of a call to prayer. Which is Islam, I believe.
I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, according this October of this year, geez, this is so twisted. Yeah, 27th of October, she had converted to Islam.
Yes.
And her name is now Shahadu David.
Yeah, but then she's converted from there to Hinduism as well.
She needs help.
No. She keeps converting, and this is hilarious. So yeah, this is her. This is from The Guardian, but take a listen. I mean, maybe this makes sense to you about her.
Ashhadu ilaha illallah.
And she's singing to some bathroom mirror.
And she's wearing camo.
In a public toilet. She's very odd. I mean, she's always been a bit strange, but now she's converted to Islam and then she's converting to Hinduism. She's probably going to go through the whole lot before the end of the year. I think it's a big joke. It must be, right?
I don't know. I mean, I always respected Madonna for...
Kabbalah.
Before that, way back in the days, yeah. She studied religions. Before deciding which she wanted to follow. And that I admired because I was brought up in a family where if you weren't Christian, you were going to hell. And I didn't quite understand that.
Yeah.
And so Madonna was like an inspiration to me with regards to that.
I want people to be able to look into all of these religions and choose for themselves, yes, like you just said Madonna did.
But or make up your own, take bits from each one.
At the same time, can't you just choose good ideas and just act them out in your life? You don't have to accept anything on the shelf as a product. Choose your own, make your own up. God knows the Scientologists totally made theirs up.
And find what works for you. I went to church yesterday and I was there for the sermon. It was a great sermon. As soon as they started going to the notices and this one died and this one has cancer, I was like, deuces, y'all can miss me. Got up and left.
Wow, you're a selfish, nasty piece
of work. No, it just works for me. I don't need to know that there's another cake sale for the elder. I don't need to know that. I was there to talk to Jesus. That is all.
While we're on these things, I don't know if you know about this, but Leanne's phone has got a tiny amount of bird shit in it.
Yes, it does.
This is why it keeps kicking off with Siri messages.
I was standing outside and under a tree, and I looked away from my phone and I looked back, and all of a sudden there was this blob of clear liquid at the top of my phone.
Yeah.
And I thought it was water, so I wiped it with my finger, but it was stringy and sticky. Then I realized it was bird poop, but it was right into my earpiece, and all that stickiness you just can't get out. So for
is
weeks.
It's still stuck in there?
Well, for it sounds better now, but for weeks I had, when people phoned me, all I could hear was And I'd go, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Can you hear me? I'll call you back just now.
And now it's working properly.
It kind of cleared up. You know, if I scratch it, there's still some white manky bit sticking out.
Oh, man, that's horrendous.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, you're here on a lucky day. Claire Mathis is here with us. You're the gadget girl. Hey, Claire, welcome.
Hi.
Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
No, sure. What a pleasure. So we found out about you on gadget-gal.com.
That's it.
And you talk about all kinds of technological stuff. I mean, obviously, you don't specialize in how to deal with bird shit in your hearing piece on your phone.
No, I've never dealt with that before.
There's a new
case.
But
there's a story for me.
But I was interested in talking to you because we were talking just earlier about bullying.
Yes.
and what a big deal that is on these devices, and obviously because of social media.
Yes.
And there's so many kids in Generation Z who have to deal with bullying, and they're particularly susceptible to it because they're on their phones all the time.
Yeah.
It's also their primary place to communicate with each other. So it really matters what happens online to these people. It's not like perhaps Generation X or even older people who really could give a damn about what happens on social media. They can get on and off and it doesn't bother them. If they're not included in the conversation, they're almost too happy.
Well, it depends, because I do think sometimes it also depends what frame of mind you're in. You've had a bad day at work, you go on social media and somebody's spewing rubbish about, even as an adult, you kind of think, ouch, that hurts, you know.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to come and talk about was Instagram's bringing out this...
these filters.
Filters. So it's actually an AI. They're bringing in AI and they're going to implement it to basically filter comments out that are bullying. So there's certain phrases, certain words, that kind of stuff. And then anything it thinks is not, you know, above board or not keeping it clean or fighting fair.
Throw it out?
Well, it'll throw it out. It'll send it to like a human just to kind of double check that it is. Yeah. Just send it to a person just to double check that it is or isn't a fair point or a negative comment or whatever it is.
I'm curious, because this can sometimes be misinterpreted. You know, machines don't have a sense of humor.
No.
And AI doesn't necessarily know how human brains work, and they certainly don't have a capacity for psychology.
Yeah.
What I'm curious about is, let's say I post a really funny picture of Leanne, okay? And it's a funny picture where she's pulling a really gross face, and then people are like, oh, that's revolting or whatever. But she's part of the joke. She's in on it. She doesn't mind. I've checked with her. The AI doesn't understand that.
Well, that's the thing. We don't know what level of sort of, you know, filtering or management it's going to have. We don't know whether it is going to say, no, that, you know, kick out all these comments,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's going to allow these comments, because obviously it is a joke. I know I'm very sarcastic online.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that know me know that I'm joking half the time. And now if you don't put a little winky face behind everything, people just take it too seriously.
But
it's those kinds
it,
of things.
Right?
Like, my comments won't come up ever again, I think.
But also AI is AI. It learns as it goes along.
Yes, it depends on how they're going to set it up and how they implement it. I mean, if it's just going to pick words, then that's it. But if they do set it up to learn and understand, okay, this is sarcasm or a winky face or whatever it is, you know, then obviously it will.
But aren't we infantilizing people too? I mean, you know, when you go out into the real world, people are going to be mean to you.
Well,
I mean, there is a lot of nastiness. Poor Malusi Gigaba found out this weekend just how mean social media. I don't see anybody putting in filters to protect him. Everybody's gleefully having fun at his expense. It seems to me that we have a totally different sense of what is acceptable to ourselves and then what's acceptable to everyone else. There's a brilliant book, and we were talking about him earlier, a guy called Jonathan Haidt, who's written a book called The Coddling of the American Mind, How Good Intentions Ooh. And Bad Ideas Are Setting Up a Generation for Failure. What doesn't kill you makes you weaker. Always trust your feelings. Life is a battle between good and evil people. These are bad ideas. What doesn't kill you can sometimes make you stronger.
Mm.
In fact, going through hardship, dealing with adversity, dealing with a little bit of not bullying, but certainly reality.
Yes, well,
makes people stronger.
How do you not call somebody out on their bullshit? You
right.
know, that's the thing. And then as soon as because I was talking about it last night, just kind of prepping for today, and we were saying things like, "What if you say, oh my God, you have a camel toe in that photo. And then that isn't allowed as a, you know, that's not allowed as a comment. And then this person will just be like happily going along going, I look so gorgeous. Meanwhile, everybody's laughing at them in reality behind their backs, you know?
Well, one of the things I've liked about Instagram is that it isn't as mean as Twitter or Facebook, right? It's one of the reasons that I think a lot of people are still on Instagram and maybe not on the other two. But it seems also that it's kind of a little bit asinine.
And La La Landy.
Yeah.
Like who's going to go onto social media? And I mean, that's the point. You're looking at pretty pics and all that kind of stuff. But as soon as
people
somebody...
People living their best lives.
Best lives, exactly. So you're going to go on there and know everything's fake. You know, so why would you, I already follow some people and I think, oh, that's not real. Oh, that, you know, I don't believe that. All these kinds of things. You don't, you want to live in the real world. You know, you don't.
I don't know about you, but maybe anybody who's listening now will have had the same experience. Sometimes when you've been following someone for a while and everything they put up is just so fantastic, you get like an overflow of fantastic, and you eventually just don't want to follow them.
And how do you gauge happiness? How do you gauge a good feeling? Again, if there's no bad feelings in the world, how do you gauge that you know?
Good point.
We put poverty. I mean, humanity can't live without sort of something ugly to look at, so that they can, you know, the guys
on
the street
that
beg.
How do you don't know what ugly is?
Exactly. Yeah. You know.
All right, so these AI filters, which makes me a little bit nervous too, do we know anything about how they're setting them up?
Nothing. And I want to know whether, do you opt in? Do you have an option to, you know, I don't want my stuff being filtered. I want people to tell me exactly what they think sometimes. But, you know, it's those kinds of things. What are the regulations on it?
And also, like, shouldn't you be responsible for what you put out? And if there's going to be negative stuff that comes as a result of that, then... Deal with it.
It sounds harsh, but it's like punishment for your action, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't mean to... It sounds terrible, but I feel... Like, I understand that everybody wants to avoid the bullying side of things. I do get it. And people do, you know, maybe go too far and get really ugly about stuff. But I also think we need to raise people that can sort of stand up for themselves and, you know, just bring something to the table, if that makes sense.
Yeah, add some value.
The other thing I wanted to mention, I find it, you know, they're also going to do this side by, the AI is also going to control side by side photos. So if you're putting up a before and after of like a weight loss or a outfit or something like that, it's also going to check that, because that seems to be a lot of bullying happens there. You're putting a photo of somebody up and then you're comparing them to somebody else going, you know, this person's beautiful and this person's ugly.
Really? I've never seen any of those.
No, but, well, I know weight loss stuff. I know weight loss stuff.
Clearly I'm not following teenage girls, but there we go. I mean, is that what they do?
That's what they want to do. That's another thing they want to implement. And another thing that I found, like, I just sit there going, shame. Because if you take a photo, a selfie or a group photo, you can add a filter you can add a filter that basically puts a lot of like words around, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, and it's all these kinds of like self-promoting
affirmations.
Exactly. So my thing is, though, Facebook sort of is the parent company and is now, you know, making an effort to be the, you know, no more fake news, let's control all these things, let's get the real world out there, and you know that. And then you're going to Instagram and they're going fake, you know, or, well, let's all be happy.
Isn't there also huge pressure on Instagram and Facebook to do something about bullying, because parents are useless? I mean, this is the real problem, is that a lot of parents have just abdicated these responsibilities to companies like Facebook and Instagram. They want those companies to do their job for them. They want them to teach the children, or rather, not even to teach the children anything, rather to protect them from horrible things.
But people on Facebook, even adults, want Facebook to protect them from fake news. And I'm thinking, well, all you need to ever do is Google something or, you know, research. You read the headline and...
Or read any book.
Read a little bit further into it. Look into it. Pick up a newspaper or something and just double check that that's a true story. And then, you know, you'll know whether it's fake and not to share it. That's the thing. Just blindly sharing stuff. And that's, you know, that just... brings about a bigger problem.
You know, there are a lot of accounts that I follow that are private accounts.
Right.
So, for example, there are a lot of these meme accounts that I follow, which are hilarious.
Yes.
And some of them post some stuff that I suppose a lot of sensitive people would find very upsetting, like kids running into walls and stuff like that. I mean, it's hilarious, but you have to have a certain sense of humor to find it funny. And does their privacy in a situation like this? Does the fact that they have to add you after you request to be added to them, does that protect them and their content in any way? Will this AI filter affect them?
Again, we don't know. And that's what I was saying about opting in and whether you're, do you sign something saying, okay, I do, or do you click a setting saying, no, I don't mind having negative comments, or I don't mind, I mean, even now you call somebody out on their bullshit on Instagram and you immediately report it and your account can be closed quite quickly or shut down, or you get a punishment of a week off or real child kind of thing.
That's like
all I know is that this algorithm is going to control comments and sort of hand them over to a person to be like, this is what I flagged, what do you think, and the fact that we can't take responsibility for what we're putting out there and then get the feedback from it, whether it's negative or positive, is, we're adults. You need
it's
to...
It's weak.
It is weak. It is weak. Unfortunately, where children are concerned, they will find a way to get onto Instagram. And, they lie about their date of birth and have an Instagram account. It's easy to figure out. It's those kinds of things that Instagram and Facebook could control better. But... I think parents need to pull their socks up if you don't,
Of course, no. I think everybody knows that the problem here is the parents. I mean, Ben, this is what you've always said.
Yeah.
The parents need to be punished if the children are a disaster.
Yeah, responsible for what they've given to the earth.
Well, they've raised it, haven't they? Yeah. Well, they've raised it. Them. Sorry. Exactly.
Okay. But in spite of that pretty decent caveat to the rule of what kind of child you bring into the world, there's also... the situation that these companies are under huge pressure. When some kid gets, they get ahead of themselves, they get down over some comment, they end up committing suicide, something terrible happens in the real world. People go, oh, Instagram, it's your fault.
Mm. But we go back to that argument of when kids go on a rampage and kill other children, it's gaming, it's up to a game, or they spend too much time in the house playing games and the games were too violent, and so there's always somebody else to blame, whereas
it could just be a crazy person.
I wouldn't say crazy, it could maybe they're chemicals or whatever, they've got an imbalance in their brain, things like that.
There's something wrong.
Let's be fair.
No, I hear you. And I mean, this goes just as much for this week's news about this pipe bomber, this guy who in Florida, he lives with his mother, he doesn't have any furniture, he's been a part-time stripper, he's Native American, but he has been arrested a number of times for everything, including battery.
And
other bomb threats. And then he sends 12 pipe bombs to leading Democrats and Democratic supporters. And people are surprised. I mean, the guy is obviously, he sounds like a very, very strange human being. Like, there are strange people in the world.
Like, his lift doesn't go to the top floor kind of thing.
Right. And they're going to do what they're going to do. And social media might just help them do it.
Mm.
But it's not social media's fault.
No.
I mean, as someone who's into gadgets and things, are you into gaming as well?
Not really.
Well, I've never really been into gaming, but I've always found it bizarre that people want to blame games for antisocial behavior in the real world.
Mm.
Usually gamers are the kind of people who they don't take the game into the real world.
No.
The two are very separate
and
for
them. Because they immerse themselves in this little world, the real world can be quite frightening to them.
Some of them.
You know, the killers out there, I think they've again, it's bullying. They've just been pushed to a brink and something's happened. You know, once you hear the story and something's happened in the background the whole time, there's usually a reason for going out there and getting involved in a mass killing.
Do you think that part of the problem is also these camera filters? We're talking about filters. But these camera filters that make people look way more attractive than they actually
are. Look, I love them.
All right, okay.
I don't use them because one of my main reasons is if you watch the Ellen Show, she looks great on TV, but there is such a filter on that camera or whatever they're using to film.
And great lighting.
When you see normal pictures of her that other people have taken on the street or whatever, it's a huge difference. And if I'm going to put a filter on, I'm worried about what people think when they really see me.
Scream and run in the opposite direction.
I'm filters have their place, I must say.
Yes.
you know, every now and then. I don't want to be showing the big dark circles under my eyes or whatever. But I mean, I've stopped taking, I do still take a lot of selfies, but I find it, because I think when you're on Instagram, it's so overly charged with selfies and other people's lives and all that, you kind of like, you do get to that point where you're thinking, you know, mine's not that great. Maybe I won't, you know, maybe today I'll just leave it for, you know, I'm not doing anything special. But I do, I think filters, I think they can have a good effect and I think they can have a bad effect. Because you could look like that if you slapped on some makeup, but then you also do not look like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's ironic that we want better and better cameras for our phones.
Yeah.
But then when we get better cameras, they also show up our flaws and then we're cross. Yeah. Like, it's great for that sunset, but it doesn't necessarily make you look better. Mm. Now, the front-facing camera is so much better. Let me just read you this and I want to hear your comments on it. This is from Oki, who listens to us. Hey, guys, you spoke about selfies on your show last week. The world has become selfie mad. I just came back from a trip to Taiwan. Everywhere you go, you have to fight your way through selfie sticks. Why does everybody constantly want to be in the pictures that they take? We believe you if you say that you took them. What we want to see are the buildings or the images that you saw. If we want to see you, we'll look at your profile picture. It is of no use if you fill up half of the picture that you're taking with your fat face. We know how you look. I took about 400 pictures on my 5-day trip, and I am only in one of them because our tour guide insisted. Crazy world we live in. Have a good week. Thanks for the show, Oki. So what do you think of that?
How confident is Oki in front of the camera?
Yeah, could be.
That's one thing. There's filters for it, Oki, if you're interested. No. I also think, isn't there that saying about if you don't have pictures, you weren't there, or there's no proof.
You always need proof.
Yeah.
Pictures or there's no proof.
Exactly. So I think a lot of people really believe in that. Like, look at, it is a very look at me kind of society.
Yeah, I'm very old school like that. I take pictures of things without me in them.
I have moments. I think you have mood, you know. Like,
yeah,
I think I'll be in this one. My hair looks good. Like, let's do it. But a lot of the time I do like to, you know, I want to show people what's out there. I feel like my Instagram, I want to show people what's out there and what you can do and things that can happen, you know.
I think I can show you what's out there with me in the picture. It is about me. It's my Instagram. And I think that's a whole bunch of people in society, we have
that's
to admit
what's
that
endearing
to ourselves.
As well.
Yeah.
I think people are there to look at you, you know.
Yeah, they're coming to
I'm
you.
I'm endearing. All right. She said, I'm endearing.
Well, Kasi Tops has just sent us a selfie, but then, of course, he's advertising because he's looking for sex work. What he also says, what doesn't kill you makes you tsonga. Do you like that?
Can you retweet that? No, get those details
later. Definitely wish Tsonga would be able to rock that.
All right, yeah, that's very, very nice. Here's another one. Gareth, I pay taxes. That cell phone is coming from the minister's pack. Is part of the minister's package. I own that phone, therefore I own the content on that phone.
He just wanted to say minister's package. He just wanted to throw that in there.
Guys, apparently we missed the reason for the Google sexual harassment numbers being so high. They fired and paid out $90 million to Andy Rubin, the founder of Android, after he sexually harassed a subordinate.
Oh.
See, so there's filth at Google as well. That's what they're dealing with. Thank you, Alan. Useful information there. You can always get hold of us if you'd like to on 079-748-2090 if you want to send us a message, or 0861-555-189 if you want to talk to us. So, Claire, tell me about your site. Tell me what kinds of things you're doing there.
Well, I think a lot of people think that maybe I'm a tech expert, and I really not.
You're just a fan of tech.
I just enjoy it. I like learning about things and understanding where, if and why, and maybe how you can fix something. You don't like the way something works and that kind of stuff. I do a lot of things like that. And I'm very interested. I've always been interested in Poppy and security and keeping yourself safe online and those kinds of things. So there's a lot on gadgets, obviously. Who doesn't like a new toy and a new phone and a... Yeah,
do
so
you have a Google Home or an Alexa or?
We have everything, but nothing set up. We're still building at home, so I'm just desperate to set
it up. Let me ask you something. Aren't you nervous about having like Alexa listen in to everything you say?
I'll be honest. I was nervous about my Samsung TV because, you know, you often sit there and you're underwear watch scrolling through things. I was a little bit nervous about that because who wants to see that? Like, there's no filters there.
It's got a little camera on it. Oh God!
On the front, yeah.
Is it like facial recognition stuff?
It's quite hectic. Yeah.
I think of what I look like when I'm watching TV.
Oh yeah, sit back, let the tummy hang out. Why not? You know?
So, I mean,
I
often wear like just a sarong when I get home because all I want to do is take my bra off.
That's the thing.
I wear just a sarong. It's tied in the middle, and I'm lying back on the sofa, and I look, and it's making a V from my boobs onwards. And I don't realize it's fallen apart. And everything is showing.
I'm usually balancing something on my belly.
Yeah. I get boob sweat. And so I hike
boob sweat's the best.
I hike the sarong all the way under my boobs. And everything else is exposed. I mean, it would just be.
And who's going to lie there with their legs crossed? I mean, it's just hot. You just want to.
And you're in your own house.
Man spread. It's the only time we're allowed to.
My cats are more graceful than me.
But this is why you don't want cameras and recording devices listening to you all the time. Really, I'm very nervous about this stuff.
You do. I do every now and then get a bit of a fright when like Bixby on the phone pops up and starts asking me what did I say and da 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 da, because obviously I wasn't talking to you, Bixby. You know, like mind your business. But I haven't set up anything at home. But I'm very keen. But I think there's a lot of you need to be careful. I think again, people freak out about posting pictures about their kids in school uniforms and all that kind of stuff. And I don't even think that is that big a deal. You've invited those people into your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've set up your privacy settings hopefully properly, and those people should be friends and family that you want to show things to. Obviously my profile's bigger, and I want people to learn about gadgets and security and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not putting any privacy settings on anything, but then I'm very careful about what I'm posting most of the time.
Well, it's a good lesson we can all learn. And I would encourage people to go and check out what you're doing on your site, on your blog. You can along to see what Claire's up to at gadget-gal.com. That's gal.com. And you can find out a whole lot more. Thanks for coming to spend some time with us
this morning.
Thank
you for having me.
Very cool to meet you. All right, here is the news for this morning and your last important bits of information before you head into your day. Malusi Gigaba is still trying to put out fires around his sex tape leak. Asking the recipient of the video to imagine putting his giant member in their mouth, Gigaba said, he meant nothing by the phrase. It was simply something that he had heard at the Saxenwald Shebeen and just repeated without thinking on camera. An SAPS helicopter could be in trouble for making a landing at an Eastern Cape town in Queenstown to buy some KFC. True story. Startled staff couldn't believe what they were seeing, but they were even more shocked when the Cavalier pilot didn't add R2 for hope with his order. And finally, Lewis Hamilton wrapped up the F1 World Championship this past weekend at the Mexican Grand Prix. Now it's off to Brazil, and to make things interesting, he's going to take a back seat to Bottas. This isn't the race orders that you think it is. More a wingman move, as Bottas has been pulling mingers all year, and a win at the end of the season could turn things around for him. Especially in Brazil. All right, we will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9, cliffcentral.com. Thanks for joining us today. Cliffcentral.com.